Chapter 5. The Dairy. Tess stayed with her family all through the winter months. Her experiences had changed her from a simple girl to a complex woman. Her soul was that of a woman who had not been demoralized by her sorrows. The spring came, with a feeling of germination in the air. It moved Tess with a desire for life. She knew that she could never be comfortable in Marlott again, but if she went somewhere else, where no one knew her history? Tess longed to go. She heard that a dairy farm many miles to the south needed a milkmaid, and she decided to go there. A spirit was rising in her as automatically as the sap in the trees. It was the spirit of youth, and with it came hope. On a beautiful morning in May, she took a hired cart to the town of Stourcastle. There, she took another cart to Torbert Hayes Dairy. The cart passed by Kingsbere Church, where the D'Urbervilles were buried. Tess no longer admired her ancestors. They were responsible, she felt, for all her troubles.
"I will tell no one in the new place that I am a D'Urberville," she thought.
Yet one of the reasons this particular place attracted her was that it was near the ancestral lands of her family. She looked with interest as the cart entered the valley of the Great Dairies, a verdant plain watered by the River Frome.
"This will be my new home," she thought.
The green fields were full of brown and white cattle, grazing peacefully in the evening light. The waters of the River Frome were clear and rapid. Tess felt happy and hopeful. The fresh air and the excitement of a new place made her cheeks pink and her eyes bright. She reached the dairy at milking time. The dairy workers in the milk house watched with interest as Tess approached. The owner of the dairy, Mr. Crick, introduced himself to Tess.
"Do you want something to eat before you start milking?" he asked.
"No, thank you,"
Tess replied. Mr. Crick gave her a stool. She placed it beside a cow, sat down, rested her cheek against the cow's side, and began milking. Soon, the only sound in the milk house was that of warm milk squirting into buckets. After a little while, the dairy workers began to talk.
"The cows are not giving as much milk as usual," said one.
"That's because we have someone new in the dairy," replied another. "It always happens."
"We should sing a song to calm their nerves," said a third.
"You could play your harp to them, sir," said Mr. Crick.
"Why?"
asked a voice that seemed to come from the brown cow opposite Tess. Then a dairy worker told a story about a man being chased by a bull. The man had his fiddle with him, and he played music to calm the bull. The bull stood still. Then the man played a Christmas song, and the bull got down on his knees.
"What a strange story,"
said the voice from behind the brown cow.
"It is like a story from medieval times, when faith was a living thing."
Tess wondered who the speaker was. Why did the others call him Sir? Finally, he stood up.
"I think I have finished this one,"
he said,
"though she made my fingers ache."
Tess could now see him. He wore the usual clothes of a dairyman, but there was something educated, reserved, sad, and different about him. Suddenly, she realized that she had seen him before. He was the young gentleman who had not asked her to dance in the field at Marlott that day, so long ago, before all her troubles began. That night, Tess went to bed in a large room over the milk house, which she shared with three other milkmaids. Retty, who had the bed next to Tess, kept talking about Torbert Hayes and all the people there.
"That young gentleman, the one who is learning to milk and plays the harp, is Mr. Angel Clare. He's a parson's son. His father is the Reverend Clare at Emminster. His brothers will become parsons like their father, but Mr. Angel wants to be a farmer."
Tess was too tired to ask her neighbour questions. Gradually, she fell asleep to the sound of her voice and the smell of the cheeses stored in the cheese room next door. Angel was the youngest and brightest of the Reverend Clare's three sons. But he had disappointed his father. The Reverend Clare had wished all three of his sons to become parsons like himself, but Angel had refused.
"Father, I do not want to join the clergy,"
he had said one day.
"I love the church as one loves a parent, but I have doubts about several of her doctrines."
"If you refuse to join the clergy, you can't go to Cambridge. The purpose of a university education is to help one work for the glory of God."
"It can help one work for the glory of man too, Father,"
said Angel.
"But I will do without Cambridge."
He went to London and became involved with a woman much older than himself, who nearly trapped him into marriage. Finally, disgusted with the city, he returned to the purity of the countryside and decided to learn all aspects of farming. So we find Angel Clare, at the age of 26, learning how to milk cows in Torbert Hayes Dairy, renting a large attic room from Mr. Crick, and eating his meals with the dairy workers. At first, he had chosen farming as a way of earning his living without giving up his intellectual freedom. Then, gradually, he came to love farm life. He liked the farm workers and took an interest in their characters and beliefs. He began to pay attention to the seasons and the changes of weather, morning and evening, night and noon, trees, mists, silences, and the voices of inanimate things. One morning, a few days after Tess's arrival at Torbert Hayes, Angel was sitting reading a book over his breakfast when he heard an unfamiliar voice.
"What a musical voice that is,"
he thought.
"It must be the new milkmaid."
"I don't know about ghosts, but I do know that our souls can leave our bodies when we are alive."
"Really?"
said Mr. Crick, turning to Tess in surprise.
"If you lie on the grass at night and look straight up at the stars, you feel as if you are hundreds of miles away from your body."
Tess noticed that everyone, including Mr. Clare, was listening to her. She blushed. Clare continued to observe her.
"What a fresh and virginal daughter of nature,"
he said to himself. He thought perhaps he had seen her somewhere before, but he could not remember where. But he began to think of Tess more than any of the other pretty milkmaids.